You're listening to the Incomparables Total Party Kill podcast, in which a group of friends play Dungeons & Dragons on the internet for your amusement. This is episode number 365, posted October 2022, Revenge of the Kobolds, Part 2. Sorry your wolf died.
Welcome back to Total Party Kill. It's me, Tony Sindelar, he, him, Dungeon Master, or am I? I'm kind of a something else today, because today we are playing Revenge of the Kobolds. I am controlling not the dungeon, but a set of heroes, a set of adventures that you just want to see prosper and survive and be successful in the world today. Our players are kobolds, filthy, hideous monsters who have laid despicable traps in their den, preparing a dungeon, if you will, that they have mastered for me in preparation. Allow me to introduce the just filthy scum of the earth I have collected to be the scaly inhabitants of this lair. First up, Kathy Campbell.
Hi, Tony. My pronouns are she, her, and my character kobold is Dadi. With a rat minion named Princess. And hey, Tony, I want to make a really long, bad lizard joke, but I don't want it to drag on.
Oh, I'm just going to move on to our next player. It's James Thompson. Hello, James.
Hello. I am playing Jesto Omsman, who is the artificer and general... I think he's the only one who knows how all these traps work. Yes, he has his wonderful little squirrel, Pesto. Mm-hmm. Pesto has more of a job than any of us, really, because Pesto is the trap master.
Next up, it's Steve Lutz.
Hello! I am playing the dread warlock Yubnub. Fun fact, Yubnub is draconic for dumb celebration.
why do they have a word for that?
It's
a family name.
Celebration and dumb are both things that people commonly say, so it makes perfect sense. Yeah, and I'll be adventuring today with my pet rat, Wicket.
Oh, reference acknowledged. Moving on, it's Annette Weirstra.
Hello, I am playing Sneck. I am probably don't remember where all the traps are because I'm a fighter and I'm better at fighting than planning and knowing things. And yes, Sneck's pronouns are they, them, and I am a she, her.
And last but certainly not least, it's Aline Sims. Welcome back, Aline.
Hello, my pronouns are she, her. I am playing Zesnix the cleric. Pronouns they, them, and their rat Tess, whose pronouns are unknown at this time.
All right. In our previous previous episode, you spent all a solid hour deploying traps, buying pots of caustic liquids.
For the record, we did not deploy the traps. We placed them. They did not explode yet.
Okay, sorry. Arranging
there
traps.
We
put a lot of barrels in place without looking at them.
Yeah, a lot of interior decorating. Truly the stuff of legends. And I have rolled one die to determine where my adventures are going to start. I have set up a turn order for the adventurers. So they are all there, as are you. You will need an initiative later, but not yet. So, as introduced last episode, our adventurers include, I'll list them this time in initiative order, Dink, the halfling rogue, Dogran, the charismatic dragonborn fighter, Ogden, the pious dwarven cleric, Zedric, the mystical Eladrin wizard, and Rena of the Woods, a half-elf or elven ranger? Elven ranger. They are also, because it's a D&D adventure, they have Zedric has a pet owl, Rena has a pet wolf, and they also have four henchmen accompanying them.
What are their names?
I named them. The name of the wolf is Seraphin. The name of the owl is Quora. The four henchmen are Barnabas, Marion, Justice, and Hubert. There you go. I have a bulleted list.
How can we tell them apart on the map? You need to rename them on the map.
Those are the orders in which they will die. Until they die, they are nameless. That is what you've driven me to. All right. So I have no idea if this is going to take us 15 minutes or an hour to have the adventurers wander through your kobold cave system, slaying your friends and family, and thus creating the impetus for you as other kobolds to take revenge.
Not that we needed it, but still.
But I will rely on you to help me out with figuring out the effects of your various traps and whatnot. For our listeners, there are two entrances to the kobold den. I have placed Dogran, Ogden, and Rena at the left or west entrance. They have two henchmen with them who think that their main job is to carry gold home. Good luck with that. At the east or right entrance, I have placed Dink, Zedric, and two more henchmen. And, you know, there's an owl and a wolf there as well. So I guess I'll just do these in initiative order. Dink is first. Dink is at the opening to the right entrance to the kobold lair. And looking down the hallway, Dink notices two red, shiny, I don't know, barrels that have all of the video game signatures of explosions. Aline, what does it sound like as Dink notices these?
Whoa. Barrels.
Thank you. Like I'm there.
We should have laid some crates around the area so we would complete the...
This area could have been heavy with crates, but no, not you. You've gone for the crate's circular cousin, the barrel. So now I believe... Dink is going to motion for Zedric to kind of hang back, and Dink is going to proceed in and attempt to defuse these explosive barrels that you have left blocking the right entrance to the thing. So I guess first off, the rogue is going to attempt to, Dink is going to attempt to disarm these barrels that you have left blocking the passageway. So Dink sneaks up to these.
Do they have to disarm them one at a time?
Yeah, I think so, right? It's two traps.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. It basically says if they walk through the square, then the rogue has a chance at that point to try to disarm it.
Yeah, so that's what so this may explode in Dink's face, right?
Yeah, okay.
We're hoping.
It says if they fail to disarm it by five or more, the trap detonates.
Yeah. So Dink has a plus five with Thieves' Tools, so Dink is going to roll I believe that I am just rolling a check to see if I can disarm your explosive barrels that you have left here. Straight up D20 plus five, I'll roll, whoa! Dink opens the adventure with a critical 20 success, so Dink kind of chuckles to himself, Aline, as he effortlessly... disarms this first barrel, I think is what just happened. So I think I could just delete this from the map, right?
It blocks the path for large creatures.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, because the trap cannot be disarmed or reset.
Well, resetting means after it blows up.
Yeah, it's very hard to put them back together.
But it has just been disarmed by him, correct?
Yeah, but the others can't pass that way.
Without moving it out of the way, I mean, obviously.
Without moving it out of the way. It's just a barrel. It's not...
That's not what the thing says. The thing says it's a blocking terrain.
Yeah, I think you can move a barrel.
It's full of lead.
You can...
It's full of explosives!
It's full of explosives and lead.
Okay, I feel like there was some confusion there where people said it couldn't be disarmed.
But I would also say that we could presumably rearm this.
Yes.
When we return.
I would also say, I think he has been, I'm applying some, Dungeon Master logic in here. I think he's basically deactivated, say, the pressure trigger on this barrel. I think it's still a barrel full of explosives, which means that, like, if one of you attacked it, it would still detonate, right?
Shoot it with
so
a shotgun.
I feel like you can't make up an explosive barrel not full of explosives. He just removed the kind of, we'll say, like the pressure motion sensing activity of it. All right. Exciting things.
I guess the question is, how many kobolds does it take to move an explosive barrel?
I think it's a one. I think you roll it. I think it's a one kobold job, right?
Yeah. Yes. Rolling an explosive barrel sounds like a great job. And we didn't buy any minions.
Did you guys hire any minions? Yeah.
Our rats can do it. They just walk on top.
I don't. All right. Meanwhile, on the west side of the cavern. Drogren the fighter. That's right. I split the party, people. This is what brave adventurers do. Not like you filthy cowards. Drogren the fighter kind of thumps his chest and heads into the first entryway here.
Nothing suspicious here. I think I'll just walk right into the room.
Thank you. I mean, I guess Dogren has a passive perception of 10, so Dogren glances around. What is the chance that the dart trap, I assume, cannot be noticed with a passive perception of 10, correct?
No.
And so Dogren moves into the room. Several kobolds are cowering in the corner. He moves in that direction to slay them mightily. And I believe he has just passed into an area you've designated on the map as being Trap Town, population Dogren.
Yep. So the trap makes an attack as a free action, and it does so with advantage.
And it's +4 to hit. Okay. Well, I can do that. I have rolled an 18 +4, 22. And I could roll again, but I won't.
Do not save. Let me save you your time. Darts fly out of the wall, catching Dogren in the side under his arm. He lets out a fearsome dragonborn yelp.
Wait, did you roll too, James? Because you could still get a crit.
Oh, feel free to roll again. And see.
It's unlikely, but yeah, why not?
Let's argue about it for at least a minute.
It was not a crit.
Okay.
But I won't tell you what it was.
Steve, I believe I requested a dragonborn yelp, please.
Dragonborn yelp.
Oh, ow!
All right. What happens to Dogren?
Well, first of all, he loses 1d3, whatever a d3 is, hit dice, which I can't wait to see what you do with that.
Do I have a d3 in here? Hold on.
Does such a thing exist?
You know, I think I've got a tube of them somewhere. Dang it, Roll20 does not support this. Random.org.
You can't just do roll 1d3 in the chat?
I don't know, it wasn't in the quick links.
Sure you can.
Someone try it.
There you are.
I rolled it.
Ooh, and Steve, we'll take Steve's roll.
Yep.
Well, yeah, all right, fine. What happens to him? He loses 3 hit dice?
3 hit dice.
All right.
But we're not done. Wait, there's more.
Yeah, Dogren started the adventure with 5 hit dice. So 3 hit dice, that's a lot of hit dice. And then...
he is going to take 2d6 damage, poison damage, and then after that is going to have to make a constitution saving throw. So...
all right, I'll get that constitution saving throw. Somebody roll that 2d6.
This is a sweet trap.
All right. Awesome. We should have bought more of these.
We should have set up more of them.
he is taking 9 poison damage.
All right. I will tell you, I rolled real bad on my constitution saving throw.
I like all of this. Brilliant. This is great.
It was a DC 15 constitution saving throw. If he failed...
yeah, he got a 2. So.
I got a 2.
Then he is poisoned for the entirety of the adventure, which I think he means is bad.
That's a disadvantage on attack rolls and ability checks for the rest of the adventure.
Brilliant!
Dogren is, I mean, still, you know, as charismatic as all get out, but all woozy and discombobulated.
I feel great. I'm fine. Nothing to worry about here.
Thank you, Dogren.
All good.
He says, talking to the wall.
Yeah. Now, remind me, is that poison trap still active, or was that it?
It has to be manually reset.
Yeah, we need to, we'll need to send a squirrel in.
Okay.
But we also can't trigger it, so...
yeah.
Dogren's henchmen linger behind him, wondering if they should have done something differently about that whole situation. Ogden the Pure, or sorry, Ogden the Pious is our dwarven cleric. I think he's going to wander into this room as well. And he starts slaying kobolds and rummaging around in the various crates and barrels of kobold belongings, looking for treasure. I think that's what he's going to do for his turn. All right. Back on the east side of the caverns, we have a bit of a challenge here. Zedric the Mystical, his owl, and his two henchmen are waiting outside the cavern entrance for, I guess, for Dink to give the all clear. He sees Dink dismantle one barrel. And I think this group is basically going to kind of move through and into the main chamber.
If they walk past the other barrel, it will explode.
If they walk past it or through it?
If they have to walk through it square.
It's very hard to walk through a square. I'm going to look up barrels again.
I think they just walk through the space next to it. So they move into this eastern lobby here and start murdering kobolds left and right.
Are you sure the rogue doesn't want to try to disarm that other barrel?
I think that would be the sensible thing to do.
I think the rogue will on its turn. The rogue lingers waiting to disarm more traps. How's that?
Sure. Yes.
We want that rogue to explode.
More opportunities for explosions.
Yeah, Zedric, do you want to just give us some what it sounds like as Zedric just eldritch blasts kobold children left and right?
Oh, I hate these stupid kobolds.
Thank you.
Why you?
Also the owl. Woo, woo.
Murder!
Murder! Let's kill kobolds.
It's like Harry Potter, except the owls are murdering children.
It's the Harry Potter.
It's like claws out, blood dripping.
Anakin Skywalker mashup we never wanted.
Yeah.
All right. Rena, the elven ranger, is next. I think Rena scampers into this, following in the heels of Dogren and Ogden, into the main chamber, discovers that Ogden and Dogren and the heroes have already, the henchmen have already murdered dozens of children. And Zendrick, I think, will head north through the double doors here, discovering...
Now we are in a Harry Potter.
A pair of conspicuous barrels blocking the way. So what does Zedric get to do here? Does Zedric have to... Rena.
That's Rena.
Yeah. Does Rena have a chance of identifying these barrels as more than nondescript barrels, or no, as a not a rogue?
It says if the trap is in the path of enemies during initial discovery, which is now, every creature that attempts to pass through its space must attempt either a DC 15 strength or dex.
All right.
Athletics or whatever, it should be acrobatics, I think, after dexterity.
Yeah. Rena and Sarah, the wolf, will attempt to leap over these barrels. So let me just pull up, doing lots of flipping between PDFs here.
Leap? That's not an option.
Well, scamper.
Oh my god, it's totally an option because I am an elf and I can absolutely do these like great acrobatic leaps over whatever this barrel is.
I don't know, man. It says blocking terrain to any medium-sized creature. Oh my.
17 acrobatics check to get over the barrel. How does that do, barrel masters?
Yeah, they needed a 15. So, like, I totally did, like, a front flip, handspring over the barrels without, like, making it do whatever it was gonna do. And does my wolf need to roll, too?
Guys, let's kill her first.
I think the wolf must.
The wolf is also going to do an acrobatics to try and get over the... The wolf has rolled a 10.
The wolf
for, acrobatic
is not gonna like this.
That's not gonna work.
How's this? What happens to a wolf climbing over a barrel of poison?
Unfortunately, every creature within 15 feet of the barrel,
which includes Rena,
must make an immediate DC 15 Constitution saving throw.
Ow.
Rena will roll. Here's Rena's Constitution saving throw. That's an 8.
Nope.
Here's Sarah the Wolf's Constitution saving throw. That's a critical fail.
Okay. They all take 2d6 poison damage and are poisoned for the rest of the adventure.
Oh, I totally feel sick.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Poison's our friend.
Do they lose hit dice or anything, or just damage?
Just damage.
No hit dice on this one.
No, the rogue would have lost a hit die.
But the others don't. So. Oh no, hang on. It says on a failed save, the trap detonates and the triggering creature loses one hit die. So the wolf.
Oh yeah.
Let me tell you, that wolf doesn't have hit dice. So
Sarah!
So who wants to poison some people? We need a 2d6 roll for both of them.
I do. I'll roll 2d6.
I can.
I think we'll roll it two rolls.
Four.
So Rena has taken 4 damage, is poisoned, and has seen her wolf destroyed in front of her very eyes.
This, like, totally sucks.
It does totally suck.
It was the wolf that did it, so...
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's your own wolf betrayed you.
Don't bring your pets onto your workplace.
She's not a pet. She's clearly my emotional support wolf.
How supported do you feel now?
Not very, thanks.
I'm just going to leave a dead wolf here where the barrel was. That seems fair.
Excellent.
All right.
You have to climb over it.
Is that difficult terrain now?
Yeah.
No, a wolf corpse is not difficult
terrain. For small animals, yes.
Emotionally difficult.
We are back around to the start of the order. That's right. It's still the hero's turn. They have to murder many more kobolds before our adventurers, our kobold people on this podcast return. Don't want to call you heroes. I think we're going to start with Dink. I think Dink is going to try and defuse the other explosive barrel that you left.
Dink, Dink, Dink.
At the front of the thing here.
Okay.
So Dink is going to roll a thievery with +5. Dink has rolled a 19. Dink is rolling well. That is a 20 on the first roll, 19 on the second roll. So both of these barrels are still laden with explosives, but no longer kind of a threat to creatures passing in and around them, right? That having happened, I think Dink will scamper forward into this room, see that Zedric has already murdered most of the kobolds that he was hoping to murder, and head north into the next chamber.
Stupid Dink.
Dogran is the fighter, is here. He finishes murdering several kobold children and heads north. He, you know, bows his head solemnly at the sight of the poisoned wolf, and then I guess squeezes past.
And then inexplicably chooses to go through the square with the other barrel in it. I'm not sure why. It seems like it'd be much easier just to step over the wolf, but he probably...
All right, you know what? Give me a... I think we're going to do an intelligence check. No. He chooses to not step through the space with the barrel.
There's a well-known superstition for the Dragonborn that you never step over a recently dead wolf. It has to be at least 6 hours dead.
Steve, give me a persuasion check. You're Steve, using your Steve score. You have +2 to persuasion. I'm going to say I'm Tony. I'm very not easily swayed. I'm going to say this is a DC 15 to persuade Tony, the Dragonborn, okay, superstitious about wolves.
Sure. Well, that's but an 8, so 10.
All right. I don't believe you.
I believe you.
Let's see. How can I persuade him to give me advantage?
roll again.
Dogran passes into the chamber, nods solemnly to Rena, and says something intended to be comforting about her dead wolf.
Sorry about your dead wolf.
Thank you, Steve. then goes about murdering several kobolds in this room. How's that?
You know what would make you feel better? Murdering.
Oh my gosh.
Heroic murdering. Ogden, the dwarf, is next. He lingers behind, rooting around for treasure and murdering, making sure the kobolds that Dogran attacked are sufficiently murdered. Zedric is, and his accomplices are over here. They push north into the next chamber, murdering more kobolds, searching for gold.
I find it highly offensive that the act of murdering kobold families is a free action in this.
Right? I mean, they are children, so.
Yeah.
That's true.
You really, you just kind of hold your sword out and they just, you know.
They just run right on
themselves,
it.
Basically.
If one long line of kobolds just runs right onto your sword.
Yeah.
Kobold kebab.
Rena continues to murder and search for treasure in this north chamber over here in the northwest. She's still feeling salty about the dead wolf. I think we go back around to the top. Dink is going to head on ahead and try and make sure there's no more traps waiting for the rest of the party. So Dink heads down this passageway, which we know there is a pit trap in. So Dink is a rogue. Dink is going to roll a perception check.
Let me look up pit traps.
Yep, please pull that up.
It's probably low.
So it's a DC 15.
Oh.
Hold on. I did not get a DC 15. So Dink is feeling confident, having disarmed two explosive barrels perfectly. Dink is humming to himself and just strutting with all his halfling might. Aline, little humming. And falls into, I believe, at least enters the area of a pit trap. Trapmaster James, what happens when one enters a pit trap?
They must make an immediate DC 15 dexterity saving throw. On a failed save, they lose a 1d3 hit dice.
The trap flips open under Dink's feet. He kind of runs in midair for a little bit, gets a very good acrobatics check, and clings to the side of the cave, not falling in the pit, I believe.
But everybody else who goes over the pit also will need to make check.
Dink calls out to his friends a warning about the pit. It sounds like this.
Hey, I've fallen into a pit and I can't get up.
Except he did get up.
Wait a minute.
You did get up.
Hang on. He is a halfling medium-sized or small?
Small.
Then he doesn't activate it. It's the first medium-sized creature that passes over the area.
All right.
Okay.
So he just rewinds right over.
That never happened.
Yep. Dink strides across the pit, oblivious to the peril that he avoided.
No pits here, he tells his friends.
Heads into the central chamber.
Everything's fine.
Perhaps he stands in the hallway where the pit is, just because he's so comfortable there.
Leaning against a switch on the wall.
Hey,
come on through this hallway, he says.
It's safe here.
Do a persuasion check on Tony.
Dogren and his two henchmen arrive in the central chamber. They high-five as they murder several more kobold children, feeling great. Dink says something about having only one last place to check for traps south of here. Dogren is celebratory as he is just caked in kobold blood. Steve, what does that sound like?
Yes! I love kobold blood.
All right.
It's great for the skin or the scales.
Ogden the Pious continues to search for treasure. There's a lot of garbage here in this kobold den. Ogden, any sound effects for us here?
Truly the real definition of piety is searching through trash soaked with blood.
I mean, isn't that basically what proselytizing is? Going out amongst the trash soaked with blood and trying to...
Zedric and his two henchmen and his owl continue to murder and search for trash in the northeast chamber. Zedric, any comments?
I still hate these stupid kobolds. Die, slash. Hoo-hoo.
Rena continues to search and murder kobolds in the northwest chamber. Rena?
Wait, I have a question. Mm-hmm. Did you say slash? Were you slashing something? Or was that just to imply that you and the owl were speaking at the same time?
Oh no! When Zedric slashes and with his whatever weapon, is it a sword?
I think Zedric is a mystic and uses a wand.
it's more effective that way.
He's very vocal in his attacks. Slash,
right? Eldritch blasting.
What is a wand but a lightsaber, really?
Like, how do you do it? I don't understand.
Pew, pew.
Yeah,
pew.
Like...
Do I get to, like, say something now that, you know, Steve is done talking and, like, talking about the other people at my party?
Please do.
I just need to say how much poison really sucks, and I can't believe that my stupid wolf, like, made it explode, and now I'm injured, too. Like, she was supposed to, like, protect me, and now she's not, and I'm just really mad. So I'm gonna kill all these kobold babies. I don't feel any better.
We're so misunderstood. That's my kobold baby side. All right. We are back around to the top. Dink is going to head south into a hallway that you know contains rotating blades.
I do know that.
Do-do-do-do-do.
So how do rotating blades work? I assume I'm making a perception check to see the rotating blades before they rotate.
If the trap is not detected and disabled.
So it's a DC 18 perception.
All right. I rolled a 2. So Dink does not see the blades,
Dink is
but
the
it's
worst.
So small that Dink doesn't trigger them, I guess.
It's a bit useless.
That's right.
For a chat track to back texture.
And Dink strides into the other chamber, does kind of a fist bump with Ogden and says, all the traps are pretty much taken care of. That sounds like this.
It's elite. All safe here. I'm amazing and took care of all the traps.
All right.
So please walk through all of the hallways at will.
Why not go and visit your friends up at the top right?
Mm-hmm. Or that central hallway, which clearly has no traps.
It's the best way. The other way is full of dead wolves and things.
And a really, like, annoying morning elf because my wolf is dead. I just need to make sure everyone knows my wolf is dead. Dead. D-E-D dead.
I said sorry.
You just hear slash slash far in the distance.
Well, that concludes our discovery phase of the adventure. Isn't it fun when adventures have phases? So let me just recap here. You murdered a wolf. Dogrin is poisoned and took a significant amount of damage. Dink failed to see two traps that are still in play. And Rena took a little bit of damage, but more importantly is poisoned. Which will impact her ability to murder all of you. So I think several minutes have passed. The adventurers are just slaying kobolds left and right. When you, the party of kobolds, the champions of the clan, return to the den, I think it's time for you to roll initiative. And you should be able to add your initiative to the turn order.
I got a 12.
Me too.
I got a 17.
13.
It looks like our adventure will play out this way. It's a very long list of initiative orders. First up will be Zess Nyx, played by Aline, then Dink the Rogue, then Jesto, played by James, then Dottie, played by Kathy, Sneck, played by Annette, Dogrin, Yubnub, played by Steve, Ogden the Pious, Zedric, and Rena at the end. You can all decide as a group, do you want to enter one side together or split up?
Yeah, we're pack creatures.
Enter, yeah. And we'd enter in the side that doesn't have the explosive.
Yeah, I think
thingies.
Like
yeah.
The top people have got to go through two traps to get to us. So I think we come in with the annoying Ogden and Dink.
By the way, I didn't hear the little bloop bloop noise, but we did get an achievement. We've managed to kill a henchman with a trap, so plus 10 points for us.
Technically, you didn't kill a henchman. It was a wolf.
What? Come on, that wolf's got to be considered a henchman for purposes of achievements.
All right, bloop bloop.
You didn't even make your roll persuasion.
You've killed a hench wolf with a trap. Yeah, there is a scoring system for this adventure, including, I've got on my version, a list of secret achievements. Let me just check here if you've completed any secret achievements.
We killed the wolf.
Nope. It looks like most of the hidden achievements are not relevant to the discovery phase. All right. So it looks like you have positioned yourselves and your many rats over by the western entryway, the entry that Dogrin, Ogden, and Rena went in. Aline, I think you got to go first with Zess Nyx.
Who? All right, so I'm going to come in around the corner.
All right. You head down the tunnel just thinking everything is fine. When as you head down the tunnel, you notice just there's just like a kind of a small trickle of kobold blood spilling from the entryway, the main foyer ahead. As you turn the corner, there's a fearsome dwarven cleric and a sneaky-looking halfling rogue standing over just a mountain of kobold corpses.
And I think I let out a yelp of distress and yell, intruders, so that, you know, the rest of my party knows that something weird is happening.
We'll assume you yell that in Draconic, So the word intruders in Draconic sounds like this. Intruders!
And I think I'm going to pull out my crossbow and... I don't know that I would take a lot of time to assess, so I'd probably aim at the person closest to me, which...
That looks like Ogden the Cleric.
Agreed. So I'm going to aim at Ogden the Cleric. That is a 23 to hit.
Ogden is basically looking at you as if you are not a threat, and your crossbow bolt catches him right in the shoulder.
Okay. That is 10 points of damage.
All right. Crossbow bolt right in the arm. Ogryn, I think, grunts. Ogryn?
You ungodly creature!
I mean, he's all about the god.
All right. Anything else, Zesnix?
No, I don't think so.
All right, Dink the Rogue is next. Dink sees you there at the entryway, Zesnix, and I think Dink is probably going to... this is the place where I'm now managing 5 characters. Everything is great. Dink, I think, is going to throw... Dink has 2 daggers. Way to be prepared, Dink. And is going to throw a dagger at you, Zesnix. So, wow, Dink is my lucky rogue. I've rolled a 23, which I'm just going to assume hits you. You take 5 piercing damage, Zesnix, as a dagger catches you like in the stomach.
Ow.
Yep, that does it.
All right, Jesto, Trapmaster of the Clan, is next.
Well, Jesto is a very paranoid person, so every morning when he gets up, he does infuse both his armor and his crossbow with his artificer skills. So I have +1 AC and +1 to hit and damage on my crossbow. But, you know, that happened a long time ago. I think I'm hearing the sounds of combat. And I will just pop round the corner, and I don't like the look of that Dink. I just have this instinctive feeling, like, through...
He's got shifty eyes.
I'm so connected to all my traps, I know that he has, like, disarmed a few. So I'm going to shoot him with a crossbow.
Not as many as he thinks.
Yeah. But he's still cocky. Okay.
Keep in mind that dart trap that they're right in front of there could be reactivated by you as well.
Yeah, well, I think that could be I believe it's a bonus act. It's a bonus action to rearm the trap if you're next to
it. I think you have to be within a certain number of feet of it.
So. Yeah, but I think like a little squirrel could do that quite easily. I rolled a 23 to hit, Mr. Dink.
Oh, Dink gets caught. Totally caught by surprise.
Yes, you thought we were just a bunch of savages, but no. He takes 1d8 +3 damage, and that is 9.
Okay.
So, if we reactivate that trap...
Be mindful of creatures versus...
Yeah, I was going to say, is that one we can walk by?
Yeah, I was going to say... We might not want to reactivate that as we are all on the other side of it.
Well, if you reactivate it and then they trigger it, or you trigger it, which is something you can do, then we don't have to worry about it.
Yeah, but they need to be, like, in that line of fire.
Well, I suspect that cleric is probably going to close with you guys at its first opportunity. So this is your chance.
All right.
Well, but it says you have to be adjacent to the trap, and I don't know if that means you got to be down by the wall where the trap is.
I would assume that's probably the case.
That's where its adjacent starts.
Okay.
So I don't know if you've got that opportunity or not.
I think Pesto is going to... can I move a bit, do a bonus action, move a bit more, and do an action? Okay. I've the thumbs up from Tony there. So Pesto is going...
Quality podcasting while I'm eating an animal cracker.
Was it squirrel-shaped?
No.
So that trap is now active again. And, you know, Pesto gives a little sort of thumbs up. Do squirrels have thumbs?
I think so.
Yes, they do.
Probably shakes its tail in a communicative way. I mean, this is a robot. It could actually speak, but, you know, for the purposes of the podcast.
Well, that robot probably has thumbs.
Yes. Because if you're going to build a robot squirrel, you make sure it has thumbs.
Yeah.
Or it has a little, like, the eyes flip up and it has a little sign that says, safe, safe.
And then I think Pesto is just going to go straight for Dink's jugular because.
Oh, no.
Wait, is he going to walk across the trap?
No, he do that? When he reactivated it here, he then kept going.
Also, does a small rat activate a
It's not a rat,
trap?
It's a squirrel.
Small squirrel, robot squirrel activated.
Yes, I don't think, I think squirrels are perfectly capable.
Well, or he like just was on this side of the trap when he
I think you could say
it,
that.
And then pass it.
Yeah. This is where we all look at how does that trap work?
It's creatures, what? Not size.
Yeah, we'll say that Pesto was able to do that.
Okay. As a steel defender, a force-empowered rend to the jugular of one Dink the Rogue.
Mm.
And that is... I have rolled 22 to hit. Would that hit Mr. Dink?
Dink the Rogue's armor class is significantly less than 22.
And then it's a 1d8 plus 2 force damage.
Roll it.
Which is... an 8.
1d8 plus 2 is an 8. Got it. All right. Dink is in serious trouble. A robot squirrel has chewed at his jugular. He calls out for help. It sounds something like this. Ellie.
Oh, sorry. help me!
but just imagine that with blood spurting out of the jugular.
help me. All right. Big turn for Jesso. Dottie, you are in the tunnel leading into your lovely cave system, where the only home you know.
Oh no. Okay.
Someone has set up a trap that blocks you from going anywhere in this adventure.
What a great thing. However, let's see, what is the rate? 30? Yes. Okay. So I would like to cast Bane on both of those characters because I have plus one target. So both Ogden and Dink, I will do the Bane, which sounds like, why do dwarves hunt dragons in the morning? Because the early beard gets the worm. And it's such a terrible, terrible joke that they are now baned.
Do they get to make a charisma check to not get this? Or
I guess. DC 12, I think. Charisma.
All right. Let me just check. Dink has plus 3 to charisma, so Dink will go first. Dink is lucky and has never let me down ever. Dink rolled a 3. Dink is banged. Ogden has a plus 1 to charisma. Ogden, I am not invested in it at all. Ogden has rolled a 4, plus 1 is 5. They are both banged.
Excellent.
So Bane, remind me, Bane hurts their ability checks and attack rolls?
And their souls.
Yeah. And their souls. Whenever a target that fails a... makes an attack roll or a saving throw before the spell ends, the target must roll a d4 and subtract the number rolled from the attacked roll or the saving throw.
So you have placed a kobold hex upon them, and they will be slightly inconvenienced whenever they try to do anything, be it attack or make a saving throw, of the kind that one might do while, say, navigating traps.
Yep.
All right. All set, Daddy?
Yes, Princess is going to stand next to me and just look sad.
Okay. Snack, you're next.
Well, Snack is going to kind of rush through to the front here and might have gone through the track because I forget things. But Gesto probably grabs me. And I get out my crossbow. And I aim for that little dink who also, I feel, has a smug face.
Mm-hmm. Oh, so smug.
Smug covered in blood.
Blood.
I rolled a 11.
11 to hit?
Yes.
All right, your crossbow bolt whizzes through the air, nowhere near Dink.
Does that mean it went through the air close to Ogden? I mean, I'm just not. Like...
No, it went through other air.
Oh, okay. Just check.
It passed neatly between them.
Yes.
It did not trigger the trap either.
Because it's not a creature.
And that is my turn.
All right. It looks like we are around to Dogrin the Fighter. Dogrin is up in the central northern chamber of the of the Kobold Dens. He is rooting around and says,
"Did I hear something? Must have been the wind."
Perhaps Dogrin will send his henchmen to go investigate as he continues pillaging. Perhaps, Steve.
Whoa, what am I supposed to do with that?
I don't know, just say something about sending your henchmen.
Oh, perhaps I will send my henchmen instead of me for whenever I hear what I believe to be the wind and not a halfling calling out for help, I always send the henchmen first.
All right, the henchmen head south into a room with horizontal blades.
Are they large henchmen? Yeah, they're humans, right?
They're medium henchmen.
Okay.
Remind us what happens when henchmen enter a room with horizontal blades.
If the trap is not detective, it's
not a detective. We're safe.
Yeah. That's the initial discovery phase up there. So
yeah,
and they are not. They think that everything is safe. They are not looking for traps. The word I'm using here is blunder. They blunder into the hallway.
Automatic activation. So. Mm-hmm. Causing it to immediately make an attack as a free action. So it's...
And if it's not detective, detected.
Yeah. It's not detective.
It's detective advantage. Or detected.
It's
the world's greatest detection.
So plus 6 to hit.
Yeah. All medium-sized targets within 10 feet, and then it's 46 slashing damage.
46.
So it has a range on it. So it's possible if the two henchmen are anywhere in vicinity than each other, they're both going to get attacked. Is that what I'm hearing?
I believe that is.
It's a 10 feet.
10 feet. Yeah, cube. 10 feet of blades.
All right. I decided they're not walking kind of shoulder to shoulder, but they are walking within 10 feet of each other. These are. Which henchmen? This is Barnabas and Marion. Please get emotionally invested in them now.
Very.
Oh, no, not Barnabas.
Barnabas and Marion scurry off, and Barnabas is leading the way. Barnabas heads into the kobold hallway here and steps on a part of the tunnel and hears a distinctive click noise, followed by the sound of like a saw blade spinning up.
So it's plus 6 to hit. I'm assuming am I going to roll individually for the two of them?
Yeah, roll individually.
Okay.
With advantage.
With advantage.
Wait, is it with advantage because they don't know it's there?
Yeah, because they don't know it's there.
Yeah, okay. Well, that was a 3, so I'm glad we're rolling with advantage. It would have been plus 6, but still.
Yep.
And that is a 19 plus, did I say plus 6?
6. Mm-hmm. So a 25 for Barnabas. All right. And roll for Marion.
Okay. And this is, well, it was a 7, which is not great. And that is a 17 plus 6, so yes.
All right, roll damage.
All right, I'm going to need some more dice, actually.
Or feel free to use the fancy app made by PCalc called Dice.
Dice? With special agents of smooch dice now.
Ooh, yes.
This is all going to get edited out.
It's here for the true fans.
Yeah, okay, hang on. I need to find some more D6s.
I just see X's over them already.
They only have one hit point. Don't tell James.
Let me have this.
We want to know how super dead they are.
Okay, yeah. 16 damage for the first one. And
this is
eight.
Just to find out how small the cubes are.
Yeah,
that turned
right.
Into.
13 damage for the second one. So you know that scene in, I think it's the Resident Evil film, where the laser comes in and cuts them into cubes? It's
yes.
That.
And they think, and Barnabas is like, I made it. And then Barnabas slides into 16 species. all right. Barnabas and Marianne have been reduced to traditional kobold salsa. I think that no one else is aware that this happened.
They can't identify the cubes. So anyone who comes through will just be like, oh, that must be kobold.
Oh, it looks
bits.
Like kobold. Yeah.
It depends on how many of the teeth are intact, I think.
Yeah, there is a huge mess as two henchmen have just been sliced and diced here. Do the horizontal blades, are they now activated, or do they like go back and
no,
back?
They are, they keep going. So they will retract into the wall.
Mm. I will say, I think that other people might have a chance to be wary of this hallway, given the amount of guts strewn about the place.
Look, could you tell the difference between the guts of a human and the guts of a kobold, really?
It's oh, yeah, true. Kobolds are filthy.
Wow.
Excuse me.
I showered this week, thank you very much.
All right. Well, that was Dogren's turn. He sent his two henchmen to die. Yubnub, I think you are next.
Sweet. So what were we out doing before we returned to the cave?
You were scrounging for supplies and walking your rats, making sure they got exercise.
Okay, so most likely I would not already have my mage armor activated for that activity.
I would say that you're out doing stuff, sure. I don't think you leave your house without your mage armor.
Yeah, I mean, like, there's a lot of danger out there if you're a kobold, so that's why I do my armor.
That's a fair point. And you know what? I actually have the ability to use that on myself at will without expending anything, although it does take an action, so it seems like... It seems like I would do it for every single activity that I ever do in my entire life, including eating.
Yeah.
Okay. So Mage Armor's already active, so that's great. So, yeah. So Yubnub will, obviously there is something amiss based on the screams. So Yubnub
jokes.
Will come around the corner, Wicket trailing in his wake. Yes, I sense that there may be intruders present. and seeing that there are two intruders and a whole pile of corpses, and also pestos over there, so I don't want to use an area effect spell.
Ideally.
That would be bad.
Depends. How much does Yubnub like pesto?
Pesto is the one who can reset the traps, so we need pesto.
Yeah. Shoot, wait, maybe this will work. And the creature is large or smaller. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to, as a bonus action, cast Hex. And I'm going to cast it upon the cleric. Let's see what that means. I will do extra damage if I hit him with an attack, but also I get to choose an ability that he has disadvantage on checks. I'm not sure that really comes into...
Can you get doubly disadvantaged?
No, but Bane and
because he's already baned.
Bane is different than disadvantage. It's a minus a number.
Oh, that's right. Okay, so never mind. So yes, he can be baned and hexed.
Yeah. Yeah. One of them is disadvantage. One of them is an inconvenience. So I mean, that's bad. That's not you don't want to be there.
So this is just on ability checks, which is not quite as exciting as say saving throws. But I'll just say strength because I'm not sure what else. Ability wise he'd be trying to do except maybe like shake off a grapple or something. So okay, so that continues on for up to an hour, and having done that I will cast a cantrip known as known as Thorn Whip. So a long vine-like whip covered in thorns lashes out towards the clerical fellow. So I need to make a melee spell attack. Which, where is my... It's a plus four, it looks like. And I rolled a one, so... It does nothing. But it looks cool. Suddenly there's a waving vine with thorns attached.
It's intimidating.
We're just luring them into the trap with our wiles.
But the hex continues, so at least I got that done, which is nice. And I'm going to tell my rat protege to just hang tight in the hallway here for a while. So he won't do anything this turn.
All right. I think Ogden is next. Ogden looks around. He sees that Dink has taken a serious robot squirrel attack to the throat. And I think Ogden, being a cleric, is going to try and help his friend, his heroic. Let's see. Ogden could either do a healing word or a cure wounds. I think cure wounds is even better. Cure wounds is better. So Ogden approaches Dink, places a hand on Dink's little shoulder, and says something inspiring.
Does Pesto get an opportunity attack since he's walked past Pesto?
He has not walked. I don't think he has walked past.
He has to walk out of his reach.
Yeah, he would have to leave Pesto's reach to be to provoke. So, you know what's fun is running five player characters at once.
You're doing great, Tony.
You are.
I think it's a D8 plus 4.
You know, we were trying to help you with that by killing Dink, and you're like, no, let me heal him.
You're like, no, let's save him.
It's true. Wow, I rolled an 8 on a D8, so Dink regains 12 hit points.
No.
Dink is feeling pretty good.
It'll just be more fun when we kill him again.
And I believe that's probably his action, right? Yeah, he's casting spells with an action. So that is what Ogden does, but maybe Ogden encourages Dink to go get help. Ogden.
James.
I was just trying to think of
seamless.
Once it's edited, this is going to be like just brilliant.
Oh, it's so good. So tight.
So good. Yeah. Thanks.
All that thing I thought up to say. Dink, go get help.
Perfect. All right.
I will handle these godless fools. There we go. That's better.
Rena of the Woods is next. Rena, I think you hear the sounds of battle and you are pissed because these filthy monsters murdered your wolf. And I think Rena is going to come around the corner here and something's going to happen.
Oh my God, stay away from my friends.
Remind me how this dart trap works as Rena enters the area that you've designated as dart trap. Now, I think Rena is aware that there was a dart trap there before, so it's probably not with advantage.
She wasn't there. She never saw it.
Yeah.
Or was she? No, she was.
I think she was right behind Dogen.
That was when they first walked in.
Oh, that's right. Okay.
Yeah. So, I mean, I think you just don't have advantage on that attack.
Fair enough. So I think it's just basically, it automatically triggers, and it's a ranged weapon attack, plus 4 to hit.
All right.
So I have rolled 14 plus 5 plus 4. That's an 18.
That'll hit Rena.
She takes 2d6 poison damage.
She's already poisoned, conveniently.
Yes.
Ha ha! You can't poison me again.
Well, she takes 12 poison damage.
That really hurts.
And I like totally also have to make an immediate DC 15 Constitution saving throw.
No, because you're already poisoned, so there's no
point. Yeah, but do it anyway, because I want you to be double poisoned.
And now Rena has wandered into this trap, so that's not great. So I think Rena is going to be real pissed at all of you. And I think this is the place where Rena pulls out her longbow that she has been murdering targets with, and is going to fire a twin strike at two targets. And I see Snek and Zesnix up in the front row. So two longbow attacks. Rena has plus 7 to hit. She's very good. First attack is Snek. Second is Zesnix. I have rolled a 16 and a critical fail. I feel pretty good about that 16. Snek?
Does not hit.
Really? You're kobold.
Snek has armor. You have to hit harder.
Okay. So the arrow plinks off your meticulously crafted kobold armor. They, you know, you can make good armor with those tiny little hands. Mm-hmm. And so that brings us to the end of a round of combat, a very long round involving all kinds of adventurers, heroes, characters, and robot squirrels, as well as some traps. Let us look back on some fond times, such as that time that those henchmen got totally murdered and no one saw it. That time that Dogren, instead of doing anything, ordered people to their death. And that time that a squirrel reactivated a dart trap to hurt a ranger.
Ow.
I think I skipped Zedric in there somehow. Is that true? I totally skipped Zedric.
You totally did.
All right. Zedric wants to join the action. He's going to order his henchmen ahead of him, who are going to stride purposefully down this hallway, thinking that there are certainly no traps here. What happens to a henchman that wanders into a pit trap?
Okay, concealed pit. So we're out of the initial discovery phase.
Yep.
So the first medium-sized creature that passes over the area where the trap is located activates it, causing the false floor to collapse into a 10-foot deep pit. Immediate DC 15 dexterity saving throw.
All right. Henshin has +1 to dexterity. I've rolled a 2, which modifies to a 3.
On a failed save, they lose either 1d3 hit dice, if triggered during the initial discovery phase, which it's not, or take 2d6 bludgeoning damage.
All right, this was our next to last henchman. This was Justice. Justice plummets to her death, and there's a sickening crunch noise from the bottom of the pit as she lands not the way you want to land in a pit. And Zedric and the final, last remaining henchman, pour all of your hopes and dreams into Hubert. Having assessed this, decide maybe we should go the other way, and we'll head south.
Well, those horizontal blades are still active.
Those, it turned out, were placed in a very good location.
Well done, Steve.
All right. So, adventurers, heroes, listeners, everybody, I think this brings us to the end of one episode of Total Party Kill. Obviously, there's still more death and mayhem ahead, but tune in next time to see how many kobolds must die before our adventurers loot their body. Nope, you're all going to die.
Zero!
Like, all our families are dead.
Yeah, it's symmetry.
I mean, quite a lot of kobolds did die.
Filled with righteous kobold justice.
Yep.
All right. Well, that's where the episode is over. That's a Scott McNulty ending there. Just, we're done. Tune in next time for more traps and tribulations here at Total Party Kill. The end.